Father, it is so hard to imagine what you went through, you and Jesus together on that cross. Lord, we know our own children are so precious to us, and we would give our lives for them. And Lord, the pain that you must have suffered watching your only son go through such agony for us, and for so many of us, we don't even appreciate, Lord, what you've done. I pray, Lord, that each and every day you would help us to spend that time focusing in on what you've done, the price that you paid for us on that cross. And Lord, that yes, we were in that crowd, jeering, mocking, and it was our sin that held you there to that cross. And Lord, it didn't take nails to hold you there. You would have stayed there for us because you wanted so much for us to have the life you intended for us, a life free from sin, a life in complete union with you, to experience an amazing depth of relationship with you and with others. Father God, take us this morning, whatever little part we decided we could surrender. Would you please take that and use it? Lord, take our hands, take our lips, take our hearts, take our lives, take our feet. And Lord, we each have a little place, or maybe a big place, that we can be used. So show us what that is. And this morning I do lift up Kendra as she shares from her heart. I thank you for the spirit that lives in her and that we all have been blessed by as she's come and been a member here and just a friend and such a blessing to all of us. So I just pray, Lord, that you will use her gifts this morning and just fill her up with your spirit. Put peace in her heart and in her mind. And Lord, for those who are not well this morning, I just pray that you would draw especially close to them and wrap your arms around them. And Lord, help them to know you've not forsaken, but you're still there. And that for whatever reason, Lord, we've just got to deal with what this earth hands out to us, and we don't like it, and it's not fair, and it's not fun, and it's painful. But Lord, thank you that you're there in the midst of all of it. And Lord, you hold out something better when you come again. So bless our time now, and we thank you and praise you for being willing to take us as we are and to change us and to make us into the people you want us to be. So thank you. Amen.
I am so excited today, Jesus, because I woke up,
thought to myself that today is the day that I am going to start working for you.
Becky, I am so excited to find someone who is ready to take action and get things done.
Well, I am that girl.
Exactly. I've got something perfect for you. So let's get started.
Alrighty.
What are you doing? Stand up. Remember, we're going to take action.
Yeah, this.
Right. But I need more than this.
I know what you want. Okay. How much? Well, $50, is that enough?
Well, that's not what I meant.
Okay, $100 then? Man, you really drive a hard bargain there.
Okay, Becky, all right. I do think it's great you want to give, but I want you to be a big sister to someone else.
I don't do that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, that's not my spiritual gift.
But hold on, hear me out. You know the woman at the office, Amy? I want you to start by taking her out to lunch and telling her about me.
Amy? See, Amy is different. Like, I mean, no, she's really different, you know?
I know, but she needs to know about me.
Well, then I'll call the people at the church because they're paid to do that.
But I want you to do that.
Well, Jesus, I am just not comfortable doing that.
No, Becky. The problem is you're too comfortable.
This box is really comfortable. I feel really safe in here, actually. When I was putting it together last night, I stayed in it, and I was like, Can I just do my whole sermon in the box? Because it feels really safe. But then I thought, maybe actually I should come out of the box and have an opening prayer. So hold on one second. Thanks. Okay. Happy Sabbath. It's kind of a different view from outside the box. Nice. All right, let's have an opening prayer. Hi, God. Thank you so much for your love and for Sabbath, for the ability to just take a break. I ask that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit so that, in a sense, it's not me that is seen, but your message. Thank you so much for your love, and I love you too. Amen. So, some people we call a brain because they're so smart. Other people are so awkward, you're just like, oh my goodness, they're all thumbs. And then some people talk so much, you're just like, you're such a big mouth. These body parts, they kind of permeate everything. Like, there's body parts everywhere. If you think about it, it's kind of intimidating. Body parts, which could be a really good reason why Paul chose the analogy of body parts as people in a church. It's not about, I mean, every body part is different. You know, they have different colors and they're different shapes. Some are gushy and mushy and some are porous. They all have different shapes and sizes. But really the main difference is their function. And I think in the body of Christ, the main difference that God wants us to have is our function. And our function is greatly determined by the gifts that he gives us. So I wanted to first read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. It's quite a few verses, but it's awesome verses. So let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. Okay, so that's 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. And that says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. But if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? That's a little scary to think of, actually. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, psh, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division of the body. Awesome. You can read it up there. So that there should be no division of the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is awesome, is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. When I think about the gifts that God may have given me, there's one in particular that kind of comes to mind, and then I was trying to think about it in conjunction with a body part, and I was like, what body part is my gift? I was like, I think I'm a toenail. The toenail, it's just kind of there. If you think about it, it's just kind of there on your toe and you're walking along. It doesn't really have a function. Like your heart beats every minute, you know, and it's keeping you alive. But your toenail's just kind of there and you don't think about it. Until something happens. Like for Mona, if she's a nurse and she has a syringe and all of a sudden she drops it and there's her toe, even though she should be wearing a shoe, maybe it goes through the shoe and into the toe. What do you know? There's a toenail. And it's there right at the right moment. So I was thinking, I think that's kind of what my gift is. So I'll explain a little bit about that. Most of you know, or some of you know, that I work as a sign language interpreter full-time in Fresno, and you are seeing some of what I do right now. And signing and interpreting is kind of second nature for me. It's something I miss doing if I'm not signing. But it wasn't always that way. And when I was in high school, I didn't even know that deaf people existed. I was going along my merry way in my hearing world. Had no idea that they existed. And then my junior year of high school, I took a signing class and fell in love with the language. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to go to college. I need to figure out what I'm going to do for my major. So I thought about some different occupations, observed a few that most of them were fairly normal, like physical therapy, bicycle frame assemblyist, normal stuff. And so I thought about these different things. One of the people that I observed was a sign language interpreter. And I observed that. I was like, that's a really cool job. I think I want to do that, but I'm still not sure. So I was praying a lot about it. I took a couple career aptitude tests, some personality tests, and just praying a lot about it. And through everything, it became really clear that God wanted me to pursue a career in sign language interpreting. And so for the next 4 years of my life, I devoted everything that I had to becoming a sign language interpreter. I would get so excited about my studies. Sometimes I'd study all day long and I'd be so excited. I'd be like, oh, I love this stuff that I'm learning. And I'd call my mom up and I'd be like, Mom, I'm so excited. And I'm really hungry. Oh, I forgot to eat all day long. Because I loved what I was doing so much. And so I went through that, finally finished, got my degree, got into the workforce. I would drive to work every morning and sing at the top of my lungs because I was so excited to be going to work. I was like, this is God's gift to me. He totally knew what he was doing when he told me to become a sign language interpreter. It was his gift to me, and that's all I thought of it as. At that point, I was so involved in working toward my career. Spirituality and church stuff kind of fell by the wayside, and it just, if it was handy, if it was convenient, I'd go to church. If I started feeling guilty, I'd go to church. If I felt like my parents were getting worried about my spiritual health, I'd go to church. And that's pretty much all it was. So I didn't really put sign language and interpreting in the picture of what is God's spiritual gift to me. And then just with this past summer, through a series of events, God used events and some really amazing friends that I have to convince me to go to SoCal camp meeting. And I was like, why? I don't want to go. I hate this. I don't like camp meeting. But I went. And Satan was really working his hardest to prevent me from going. And there was one point I almost just turned around and drove back home. I was like, I don't want to go. But it didn't make sense why Satan was attacking me like that. And so I was like, okay, God, I came like 3 hours drive away. I need to just keep going and stay at camp meeting. So I did. And the very next day it became clear why. Because my friend Bill called me up. He said, Kendra, there's this young guy, Carlos, in the youth tent and he's deaf. Can you interpret tonight for the meeting? And of course I was a little grumpy. I was like, I came here for a vacation. I don't want to interpret. But I was like, okay, I think I'm starting to get the picture. So I interpreted. I was there for several nights, interpreted every evening that I was there. Carlos had been coming for years on end to the youth tent, but had no interpreter. So he had never been able to have access to the message that was there. And fun guy, a lot of character and personality. And so I had a lot of fun. And the last night we were there, the speaker made a call for anyone who wanted to give their lives and say, look, I want to go to a Bible college. I want to go and learn how to witness and share Jesus with my friends. And when he did that call, Carlos's eyes lit up and he raised his hand. He's like, I have wanted for the longest time to share Jesus with my friends, but I've never had training. I have no idea how. I want to do this. And just to see that, because he'd never had this opportunity to have the message given to him like this before. And there I was. Jesus was using me like a toenail. I'd had, you know, sign language interpreting for 4 or 5 years now. And it was just kind of going along. But at that moment, that's when Jesus needed me to do something that no one else could do at that moment. And I was like, I feel fulfilled. I am excited and energized. And that's when it kind of started to hit me. So the gift that God's given me is kind of out of the box, in the sense it's not something you would see every day. But the reason that it is so effective is only because I'm willing to let him take my gift out of its box and share it with other people. My dad gave me this book. It's amazing. It's hilarious. Ripley's, Believe It or Not, Curiosities. Seriously weird. And like, you can look in this. I spent like 2 or 3 hours poring over this one night and just having the time of my life, because there's the most crazy stuff in here. And when he gave it to me, I'm sure he had no idea what it was going to become. But it's become a conversation starter in my home. It's become, my friends have spent hours poring over it. And even Raquel couldn't leave it long enough to go up to Yosemite. So it spent some time in Yosemite. It's just been this amazing gift. But the only reason why, I could have, you know, spent my 2 hours with it, had fun, enjoyed it. But I get so much more enjoyment out of watching other people have fun with it. We'll sit there and have a conversation, and they're like poring over this book, and they're like, oh, you got to listen to this. It's so much fun to see people get excitement out of this. And that's because I was willing to share this gift that was given to me with other people. Let's look at Acts 20, verse 35. Paul quotes Jesus in saying something I think is really integral. Again, that's Acts 20, verse 35. You can see it up there. I will find it in here, give you guys some time as well. Acts 20, verse 35. And the integral part there is, Paul says, he's talking about what he's done and everything. I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. And what Jesus said is, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And just kind of thinking back over my sign language journey, I love the job that I do. I get a lot of enjoyment out of it. But the most enjoyment I get out of it is when, like at camp meeting, when I'm able to interpret for someone and watch the lights go on and watch them get the benefit of the gift that God's given me. In conclusion, let's look at one more verse, Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, yay, good for him. But no, let him prophesy. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So when God gives us these spiritual gifts that may or may not be out of the ordinary, you may have a gift that's kind of like a toenail, or you could have a gift that's kind of like a hypothalamus or a thumb. It doesn't matter what your gift is. It's unique. And the reason that God gave it to you is so that you can share it and get even more enjoyment out of it. So let's get out there. Let's realize our individuality. Let's revel in our unique abilities. Let's go out there and touch souls with the gifts that God's given us so that we can have a vast diversity of people in heaven that God has used us to touch. Let's pray. God, thank you so much again for your grace, for the creativity that you give us gifts. I ask that you will help us to get out there and use them and enjoy it. I thank you so much that you've given me the opportunity to use my gift in a way that is exhilarating. I just ask that you will bless each of us today, help us to feel your individual love for us, and to just have a blessed Sabbath. Thank you so much, God. We love you. Amen.
I didn't get to hear most of that talk. I wish I could have. I was in there with the children. But one of the gifts that we have from God is the Holy Spirit. David had direct experience dealing with a person whom the Holy Spirit had left. Early in his career, as you know, he ministered to Saul, and the Holy Spirit had left Saul, and he was being tormented by an evil spirit, and David's job was to play the harp for him when he really needed comfort in his torment. So after David sinned with Bathsheba and incident with Uriah, and God reached out to him to show him how he had failed, and David was so fearful that God would also withdraw his Holy Spirit from him. We don't think of the Holy Spirit being so active in the Old Testament, but it was. And in the 51st Psalm, beautiful Psalm, something you should read often when you feel down, because God honored David in his humility coming to him. But one little line doesn't get a lot of airplay. It is in the middle of the 51st Psalm, and David says, "Don't take your spirit away from me." This is a song, a prayer that you can pray with me as you listen to this song of mine. Hear my prayer, Lord. Please don't take your spirit away from me. Stay by my side forever is my plea. I need your loving arms to keep surrounding me. Oh, please don't take your Holy Spirit away. Please do not give up on me, I pray. I need you now. I need you every day. As you open up my ears, I hear the still small voice. As you open up my heart, I can't help but rejoice. As you open up my mind, I begin to understand. As you open up my eyes, you show me all that I can. Be for you, please don't take your spirit away from me, stay by my side forever is my plea, I need your loving arms to keep surrounding me. No, please don't take your Holy Spirit away. Please do not give up on me, I pray. I need you now.
I need you every day as you show yourself to me. I love you all the more as I see your loving face. It's you that I adore. As I contemplate your word, I marvel at your plan. As you show me all the ways that I can be all I can be for you, for you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Please don't take your Holy Spirit away. Please do not give up on me, I pray. I need you now. I need you every day.
I hope that you all have an amazingly blessed Sabbath. Let's pray once more before we go. God, thank you so much for who you are. Help us to be everything you want us to be. Amen.